Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast coming to you today from Skytook, Oklahoma, and the home of the Chip Brim family. They have moved here because they have become on the pastoral staff. I'm telling you, I have to make an appointment with them anymore, especially Candace. I mean, she's working night and day.
You only have 30 minutes here, Mom, then you have to leave. We have more appointments. I'm just kidding.
And you know, Chip, you tell a funny thing about when you all came here and God led you to come here. And then tell about how the people reacted to that sometime. You know, when you were talking and people were saying how glad they were Candace came.
Oh, in church, Pastor Lee had a thankfulness meeting and passed the microphone around. And what are you thankful for? And every just got up and stood up. We're so thankful for Pastor Candace. Thank God for Pastor. Next person. Thank God they sent Pastor Candace. And I'm thinking, any of them for me, or you know, they glad or no? I'm just teasing it. I was so thrilled about
it. Yeah, I'm thrilled about it too. And we were talking at breakfast today. We went to Cracker Barrel and we were all talking about this church. And how it's a real church. It's a church with a real pastor. Pastor Lee for a long time, like a father. And another thing about Pastor Lee is his ability to move in the spirit with the word. You're supposed to pastor with the gifts working. And so we talked about earlier this week how you and Candace came here. Chip and Candace came here. And the Lord dealt with Chip. After 13 years in coaching, he dealt with him to come, now's the time for you to go into full-time ministry. And he told him, did I teach you how to, how did that go, Chip?
He said, now's the time. And I said, Lord, how can I preach? All I know how to do is coach. And he said, did I not help you train champions in baseball? And I said, mm-hmm. Yes, and I gave you the glory. And he said, well, then I'll help you train champions for me because I'm coming back for a champion church.
Now we have a list of champions, heroes of faith. Yep. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews.
Absolutely.
By faith they did this.
Hall of Fame.
By faith they did this. By faith they did that. And then the chapter ends with all the things they overcame in the victory of faith. But it said, and these all, verse 39, having obtained a good report through faith. You're not going to get a good report unless you've had faith victories. Having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They're not whole. I mean, the whole family is not yet together. Wherefore seeing, you go right on over into the 12th chapter. Wherefore seeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The picture is, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, where we are as well. But the picture here is a race.
Yes.
And the witnesses are in the stands. This is a Greek kind of a picture, the word picture. And it's as if these witnesses, these heroes of the chapter 11, they're all sitting in the stands and they're watching the close of the race. And here we are. And in our race, each one of us has an individual race. Now, Brother Hagin said that God deals with each of us by pattern. And that in your life, you can check, one of the ways to check it is God leading you is it'll follow a pattern. Now, one of the phrase patterns that God has really used in your life is what?
Finish your race.
Finish the race.
Run your race. Run your race. No, it's run your race, actually. And then he would say finish. But
wait, how did it start? What was the first time he said it to you?
Dad's funeral in 1986. I was 20, what? Four. And
finished college.
And the anointing hits me during the funeral. Brother Hagin gets this word from the Lord. I knew it was for me. And he speaks to me. The Lord speaks to me at my dad's funeral. And after all of these different things that he tells me, he says, now run your race. And so I got that there. And I didn't think much of it. you know, the run to race part. I got
now this
all
is
the
Brother Hagin prophesied it to you and used that phrase
about Dad's anointing and this and that, and there were other things. But then at the end, he said, "Run your race." Well, God's not just going to say something and it. Oh, I just threw that in there and that just to be cute or something. But later on, I hear it again. I hear it. I was at a place where the man picking me up at a meeting in Colorado Springs dies, and I find him in the parking lot. He's on the ground, dead.
He's supposed to come pick you up and take you to
him,
but he doesn't show.
He went in the back and falls over, and he's blue, you know. He's 25 minutes, the police report said. And so I went in and told him to call 911. I found him, and I got a doctor and a nurse, and they come out there. And when the doctor and nurse were, they said, "Oh, he's gone. He's been gone for a long time. You can tell by the color, everything else, you know." I grabbed his feet, and I said, "From the right hand of the Father, I command life into this body." And the body just bolted, and it jumped up, and a power hit that body. And the doctor looked at me and said, "Keep doing what you're doing." He even recognized that worked. Something happened. We may get him back. By that time, the EMTs and everything came, and they pushed us aside and tried to shock him and lost him. And as I'm sitting there on the sidewalk, I said, "Lord, what's that all about? I really thought we were going to raise this, you know, raise him for the dead." He said, "You felt the power, didn't you?" And I said, "Yes, I felt the power." And he said, he told me some other things. He's with me. Things were, a decision was made. Well, blah, blah, blah. There were some things, not blah, blah, but at the very end, he goes, "Now run your race." I heard it again. And then we're in Israel on one of Mom's tours, and we're on the Sea of Galilee. And that moment after you teach, you know, when we're on the sea and
we're
you
in
say,
the boat.
Let's just listen and hear from God and meditate. And I heard from God. And on the Sea of Galilee, probably pretty close to the same place where it happened. The Lord say, a lady said, this reminds me of a sermon our pastor preached, and the title of it was, "At Least Peter Tried." At least Peter tried. And it hit me the wrong way. And the Lord began to speak to me. I never told anyone to try anything. And then I thought, if trying was just good enough, Jesus would have said, "Good try, Peter." But he didn't. He said, "Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" And so I was sitting there thinking that. And all of a sudden I heard a voice. And he said, "If Peter would have ran, he would have made it. If he would have ran, he would have made it." And I thought, wait a minute. I started thinking about it, you know, visualizing it. If he'd have jumped out of the boat and ran, he'd have made it. If he'd have focused on Jesus, and that is who we're supposed to focus on, he would have ran and he would have made it. And I thought, you know what? It would have changed the whole story. The disciples would have jumped out. They would have ran. It would have been a whole different story. A running party on the sea is probably what it would have been titled. Instead, you know, he looked to the right and the left, and he would have ran, and then I heard again, "Run your race." I heard
run
it again.
Run your race. Run
I said,
your
Lord.
Race.
And then I heard David ran towards Goliath. If he'd have walked, that could have been a different story. Caleb, when he came back and he said, "Let us go at once." Why? If we don't, we got the Lord. We have the plan. We can do this thing. You know, and so I was thinking about all of that. And he was setting me up to do this, to come to this church.
Oh,
he
yes.
He knew that I was going to have to run. Because when the Lord gives you a word, you better run. I'm telling you. Because if you walk and look right and left, and you'll think of a whole bunch of different circumstances that'll keep you from focusing. And so, and then I get called to this, and we're running, and that's what we're doing. But then when I got real frustrated at the Collinsville church one Sunday after doing this, I said, "Lord, I'm running. What else do you want me to do?" And I heard, "Around. You're running around with a good intentions." And then I thought, what if Peter just ran around? He jumps out of the boat and he runs around the sea. Now picture this, everybody, wherever you're at. After a while, he's going to get tired. Because he didn't focus on what? Where he was going? Who?
That's it, that's
Jesus.
It.
Now, pick that up of the focus of the head. Jesus.
Absolutely. Now, here you've got it. He did not focus on Jesus. And it is written in Colossians, is it 2:19, Candace?
Mm-hmm. 2:19.
You're supposed to hold fast the head. You can be running around in circles. But unless you're getting your orders from the head and you're focused on Jesus, then you'll be running around. Mm-hmm. Candace, you have something?
Oh, I was just going to add into the story when the Lord told us to come here to Collinsville, and he told us, "I want you a glorious church." And then we were walking out, and he said, "Go, run." And that
oh, he
was,
said run?
Yes, yeah. He said go, run. Oh. Because my mind was meditating on, okay, what do we do? I want things in order. I'm going to put things in order. So I was thinking about those things, and he goes, no, go, run. And we ran.
Yeah, because it was school time changing?
We ran, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, all kinds of things.
All kinds of things were coming up in the natural.
So running your race and staying focused. And so if God has told you something to do, run. And there's a lot of us listening right now that he has showed us and told us some things. And maybe we've had good intentions, but we not really focused the way we should focused on
holding
Jesus,
fast
the head.
Mm-hmm. Look that up. Someone look up that Colossians, and we want to read that before we leave here. But I was thinking about last night, 2014. The Lord said to me, let me find it here and read it to you. I'm going to read you a word he gave me. 2014. Walk in my spirit this year as never before. I will lead you, for only I have walked this way before. Into the glory we will go. In the glory you will see and know. Yes, so-and-so hears and sees me. I was asking if a certain person who sees a lot of visions really did. Yes, so-and-so hears and sees me. But more blessed is he who sees not and believes. Do you think I saw visions constant when I walked below? No, but I saw and heard as you can. And so I knew that number one thing for me, one number one thing for the church of the Lord, is to hear from the head and then do what the head says. Have you got that scripture, Candace?
Yes, I do. And it says in Colossians 2:19, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God.
See, these people were in trouble. Why were they in trouble? They got all mixed up on their doctrines, really. Why? Because they didn't hold fast the head. That's what got them there. They weren't holding fast the head. Now, they were religious people. They were doing religious things or giving religious advice this way or that. This is what you do. That's what you don't do. This is what you eat. That's what you don't eat. But he said they're not holding fast the head. And that's where the real nourishment comes from. So do you have that in another translation?
Well, it just says, the New Living Translation says, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it.
Hallelujah. And it runs its race. And right. It runs it and finishes it, wins.
And you know, Paul, it wasn't, Jesus said to Peter on the water, come. And he had already told him that once before when he was fishing and with Andrew, his brother. Yeah. And he said, come, the same word. And you know what he did? He threw the nets down.
Quit the business.
And didn't think twice about it.
Didn't think twice. That's just what he told
Candace. Where did he run to? Christ.
Run.
The head.
Now we want you to run to the telephone, 1-800-972-3447, and order a CD or a DVD that will change your life, Chip Brim's teaching on the anointing. We want you to have it so much that we're giving it to you really for almost the price of just producing and shipping it. $3. Just ask for The Anointing by Chip Brim. Call 1-800-972-3447. Shalom.